Good morning, everybody. Paul Tillich says spirituality exists in three things: love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. I talked a little bit about our models of God, and we can talk about loving God. We talk a lot about loving your neighbor around here, but today we're going to talk a bit more about loving yourself. And since this is a bit of a complex message, I'm going to stick a little closer to my notes so I don't run into any landmines and blow myself up along the way because I said something stupid. Who got the email this week from Friends Church? It was from Jeff, who doesn't share his feelings well. That was from me. I just put the wrong email in, so I thought that was kind of ironic that that came from Jeff, who's really good at sharing his feelings, but I'm not. You guys see me up here, right? Sharing anything about my life is a bit of a pulling teeth. I don't like it. When people ask me how my day was, I usually say, fine. I'm not trying to be evasive. It's just, yep, it was fine. What are you up to? Nothing. And in 2016, in the age of emotional intelligence, I kind of sound like a Neanderthal, don't I? What was that? More like a teenager. Thank you. Not sure what I'm going to do with that comment, but thanks, Rob. I appreciate it. The reality is, I don't like to share things. I don't. And society right now kind of says, I should. I should like to share my day. If I want equality in this world, I should be to be willing to have my emotions on my sleeve. But I don't like it. Now here's where I'm going to try and justify myself. There's a researcher named Alison Armstrong. She did some studies. She says our genes haven't changed in about 30,000 years. That's when we acquired complex language. After that, it kind of just flattened out and stayed the same. So inside of each one of us is a 30,000-year-old caveman or woman. Or in my case, both? I don't know. And it's not that it's just funny that there's a cave woman and caveman inside of us. There's a specific reason I'm telling this. So her research says this. Put yourself in a caveman's position. In that day, gender roles were pretty specific. Men were the hunters, women were the gatherers. So just put yourself in this position of hunting. So we're all out, you know, after our hunts, having a drink by the fire. I'm not sure we drink, but let's just say we had alcohol back in those days. And we're talking about the big hunts we did, right? And I'm like, oh man, I found this killer spot. There's deer just like walking. You can walk up and punch them and like knock them out and eat them. And they're big and juicy. They're so good. My family is like, we're getting so fat. What would happen if I did that? Exactly. Tomorrow when I show up, you all got there before me, ate all my deer, and now my family's starving. So, evolution, according to her research, says trained hunters keep your mouth shut. The chatty hunter, yeah, they got the Darwin Awards and got taken out of the gene pool. Fascinating, isn't it? There's a cave person inside of me that is trying to push me to obfuscate, to hide things. Why it feels so natural to me. So now put yourself into position of a cave woman. Primarily, again, hunter-gatherer. You're out gathering berries. And you're being quiet like a guy, and you walk into a field. What happens to the animals that are there that you surprise and now get freaked out because you snuck up on them? So what does evolution teach you to do? You talk. It's like 30,000-year-old bear bells. Hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. Chatting around, right? And then the animals that would like bite you or, you know, attack you, they hear you coming. They're like, oh, we're out of here. So the genes of a cave woman are designed to talk, to make noise. Now, again, this is a big, broad concept. This is a model that she's researched. But there's something to this genetically. So I'm not here to say I'm trying to prove her model or disprove her model. What I'm trying to say is if there's even a bit of truth to that, put groups from a cavewoman and a caveman together in a friendship, in a partnership, in a business arrangement, things are not going to go well if you don't understand this, right? Why aren't you talking to me? How come am I the last person to hear? I just want to watch some TV and chill out. Right? I can throw it around all the stereotypes. So, the reason we're talking about this is because I think we have gender, physical and matter, sorry, we have gender, I'm trying to get the words right because I was working with someone who works with the trans community and I always say the word wrong. I call it physical gender, it's actually called sex characteristics. So I am physically male because I have male physical sex characteristics. I have those parts in my body. Who I'm attracted to is sexual orientation. But there's another thing that people talk about that are called gender traits. It's things that we identify as male or female, but it's not tied to our physical gender. But we have them. This is kind of the cave woman and the caveman inside of us. And the reason I talk about it today is because I've watched people, myself included, try and fight those characteristics. I'm a 2016 male. I'm supposed to love sharing my feelings, right? I love standing up here and telling you guys all the crap that I've done in my life, all the stupid things I've done. I should feel awesome about that, right? I don't. It's hard for me. I can choose to do it, and I do because it's important. I went to a lot of therapy to learn how to do it. But the reality is, I don't. And if I don't accept that side of myself, there's that constant fight. I talk to feminists who are stay-at-home moms, and I see this battle inside them. I'm a feminist, but the trait that I want to express is classically called female, like our moms would do it. But somehow that's wrong because I'm a feminist, so that means I can't do this, but this feels most natural to me, but I can't do it because I'm a And you see this internal battle. You see people doing this all the time, feeling guilty about who they are. I talked to Jeff the other day. I'm not trying, Jeff's awesome. He's way better at this stuff than I am. So I don't mean to make fun of him. That's not what I'm doing at all. But he was saying how he loves playing golf. And he's like, if I get to go play golf and just crush everybody, it's like, oh, I love it. You know how Jeff gets like, but if everyone has to win, he's like, I don't even want to go out. If it's this whole game like no one's a winner, no one's a loser, he's just like, yeah, I'm going to stay home and watch TV. Why? People tell us, researchers tell us, about 80% of physically gendered women primarily use female traits. And about 80% of men use primarily male traits. We sometimes use other traits, and that's fine. But there will be ones that will feel most natural to us, that when we use them, we feel good. We feel relaxed. Now, I just want to put a caveat here. I am talking about a very specific subset of people today. People who identify either male or female. People who sit outside the gender binary. I would love to talk about that, but I would need another 3 or 4 hours to work through it. So I'm going to talk about that another time. So today I'm going to talk to the people who kind of fit that gender binary. And if you don't, that's okay. We'll talk about that another time. I got all kinds of stuff I want to talk about with that. So we're going to have fun with that. And I want to make sure you're hearing, just because you have physical male sex traits doesn't mean you need to have physically male behavioral traits. Those things aren't connected. And that's what I'm going to try and parse apart today. Because I think in our culture, and this is the reason why I wanted to talk about this message, is somehow in the fight for gender equality, which I think is absolutely non-negotiable, mandatory, and I don't think we've gotten there yet, so we've got some serious work to do. But somehow in North America, this idea of gender equality somehow got translated into gender sameness. You hear that? There's a great quote. I'm going to see if I can quickly find it. There's a guy, can you put up that quote, Chantel? Gender equality remains meaningless unless we consider it to mean that femininity and masculinity are of equal value in our society. So what he's talking about is gender traits. Therefore, women who attempt to act out equality while suppressing their femininity do not prove equality to be only the advantage of masculinity. Now here's, let me say a couple things he's not saying. He's not saying that if you're female, you have to have feminine traits. He's saying if you have femininity in you and you somehow feel you have to suppress that femininity, that female trait, in order to get ahead in the world, we don't have equality. We just think that masculinity is awesome. Someone asked me the other day, I just did a big race, and they were like, did you have fun? I ran for 28 hours. It was hell. There was like four moments of fun. I came around and I was like, oh, that was a nice view. Oh, my feet hurt. Oh. A masculine trait is focus on the end. The journey, not even paying attention. 28 hours, not even paying attention. I just want to cross that finish line and collapse. When I'm with people who have feminine energy, holy crap, you don't have to run for 28 hours to get one hit. Every moment is beautiful. You're walking down the trail and they're pointing out things. You're like, I ran past that thing 100 times. I've never even seen it before. That's incredible. Which one is the right way to live? If we take that quote seriously, both of them are okay. And the one that you feel most natural, that's the spiritual work of loving yourself. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want you to leave here feeling amazing about exactly how you work. And if you're a man who primarily has female traits, great, go hard. And if you're a woman who has primarily masculine traits, great, go hard. And if you're a man and you have female traits, go hard. I want us to stop feeling guilty about who we are. I want us to learn who we are so that we love who we are. Is that fair? So today you're not just going to hear, you can tell I'm a little excited about this, right? I got all like up in my hands waving and stuff like that. Today I'm not going to do this alone. I've actually had the privilege of working with a number of incredible people who have taught me a tremendous amount. And today, we're going to talk or hear a bit of the story of one of those people who studied infinitely more than I have. She balances the gender traits on the stage here, which will be fantastic. Can you give a please, Friend Church, welcome to Christine Hart. How are you? You're good?
I'm good.
Let me give you a quick hug before we start.
Oh, thanks, Vince.
Have a seat.
Okay.
Thanks for doing this with us.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
She has studied this for many years, but today we're not actually going to hear her teach. We're going to hear why she cares about this in the first place. Uh-huh. But before we go there, how long have you lived in Calgary?
I just moved back to Calgary. I am a Calgarian. I grew up here, and I was in Toronto for the last 6 years. So I just moved back in February.
Wasn't there a California
yes.
jaunt as well there?
Yes, there was. I became so interested in this work, and it sourced out of a school near San Diego, LA and San Diego. And so I thought, if I'm going to really immerse myself in this information, I need to go and study with the best of the best. And that's where Allison is. And so
nice.
I lived there for 6 months and learned as much as I could. Yeah.
So we just want to get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
Starbucks, Tim Hortons?
Oh, goodness. Timmy's.
Timmy's. What's your order?
Just a regular with cream and sugar. I used to like Starbucks, but it's just too strong for me now.
Okay. Fair enough. Movies or TV?
Netflix. Yeah, movies.
Movies? So not binge watches a series, but like watch a movie?
Oh, right. I just finished 5 seasons of Suits.
Nothing wrong with that. That is a fantastic show.
It's a great show.
That is great. What are you most grateful for in your life right now?
You know, I'm really glad to be back in Calgary. I have some amazing friends here and community, and it's really easy here. I don't know. Downtown Toronto was awesome. It was great, but I spent yesterday all in the mountains and have the windburn to show
it. Fantastic.
Yeah.
What are you most excited about these days?
Most excited about these days? One of the things is I sing jazz for fun.
Nice.
And I'm starting to get back into that, just kind of going to open mics and sitting in the back of the room and just kind of observing.
Warming yourself up to the idea.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Nice.
I kind of left singing for a while, but I just love it. Mm-hmm. So getting back into jazz.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I want to take you to a moment in your life. Mm. And we're going to go through the story. And then we're going to step out of the story and just talk a bit about some of the things that happened. Mm. You told me a story about planning a trip to Asia with a boyfriend of yours.
Yes, I did tell you that story.
Do you remember this story? You okay sharing that story with them?
Yes, I am. This is prior to this work. So this is Christine in her 20s. Wonderful guy. We were together 3 years. Really, really awesome guy. And we decided to go to Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. And we were planning out the trip. And we thought it would make sense to just assign each other countries. And then I could do this, you could do that. And so he picked Malaysia. And then I came home one day, you know, strong 20-something girl. And I looked at what he did and I was like, yeah, that's good. Maybe I'll just do it.
Yeah. So he had a whole binder of work that he'd done.
Yep.
And
highlighters. He had little tabs. He was excited to show me like all the wonderful things that I didn't see.
What was his face when after you said that, I'll take it over?
Oof. I remember him sitting, it was at the kitchen table, and I was kind of standing over him here, and he just kind of went like this. Okay. All right. You do it.
How did the trip go?
It wasn't good.
How come?
I was competing for the male role in the dynamic.
So before we go to that, did he help you at all in the rest of the planning of that trip?
Yes.
Okay.
He did, but in a kind of a deflated way. That I've come to learn. Kind of like, he wanted to suggest ideas, but he would preface things with, I don't know if you'd want to do this, but maybe you want to go check that out, or whatever you want to do. Because he was afraid to...
But how did that feel like when he came to you in that way? What did you feel about him?
Frustrated.
How come?
Step it up.
You wanted him to here's what we're going to do.
I was 24. Come on, let's go. We're in Asia.
Here's my binder of things we should do in Malaysia.
Come on. Yeah, chop, chop. Yeah.
How long did that relationship last after that?
Ooh, we broke up at the end of the trip. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was so hungry for that. Like, come on. Yeah.
It's interesting.
It was tough, but I was young.
I spend most of my time talking about all the stupid stuff I do out here, so I appreciate somebody else talking, sharing some of their stuff where they're like, that was not my finest moment.
No.
Did you understand what you did in that moment?
No. I didn't until years later.
But you remember the feeling of him just kind of like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Had you ever seen that body language from another man in your life?
Yes.
Where?
Years earlier. When I was 20 and I was in another relationship.
Huh.
And similar, very similar body language, body response. Yeah, that was a time. I was in university and I was down, actually Stampede with my boyfriend at that time.
Okay, so different guy.
Different guy.
Stampeding.
Mm-hmm. We were in a lineup at a ATM machine. And I was wearing overalls and a little tank top and, you know, and somebody behind me was making fun of my overalls. And they were just like, oh, I'm Farmer Joe. And he was like on and on and on and on. And my boyfriend at the time, like, he was kind of like looking around, likely focused on getting to the ATMs and get money and we can go have a good time.
End of the journey.
Exactly. Yes. And so I was focused on what buddy behind me is saying about my overalls, and I had never felt adrenaline before, which isn't uncommon for women. Mm. I had never felt full-on, full-fledged adrenaline. All of a sudden, it came up through me, and I turned around, and I slapped Scott. I slapped him.
Okay, but there's one better part of the story. Who is it you slapped again?
This guy that was a star on Beverly Hills 90210.
Tell me, it's that blonde guy. He just like...
Yeah.
So you felt like that came up in you. Bam. You took care of the guy.
I just was like, whoa, what's this? Woo! You know? And then he's like, whoa, whoa, what's going on? What's happening? And the girls that this guy was with were all like, we're going to get you. And
you got to love Stampede.
Yeah, love Stampede. Because the guy was drunk. And so they were kind of his two girl bodyguards. Anyways. Oh, okay, so how I handled the situation was my boyfriend at the time looked at me and said, why didn't you say something? You know, I could have taken care of this. Like, what are you doing? You can't, like, you're hitting people. Like, what's happening? And I said, don't worry, I took care of it. Yeah.
So tell me. What did he look like at that moment?
Oh, a combination of totally crushed, pissed off, like angry, deflated, just this mess. I shouldn't say mess, but like just this, like the wind had been taken out of him completely. Like the sails were down, he was angry, and... that day was not fun. Hmm. That day was, because it was just...
How long did your relationship last after that?
Timeline on that one? I would say that was in the summer that we broke up, so maybe another month.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now you hear her do things where you're like, yay you, right? Woman standing up for herself. Damn, this is awesome. You know, get that trip to Malaysia figured out the right way. But something happened between you and that guy, both those guys, who seemed to have a lot of masculine traits, or at least that's how you described them to me.
Yes.
So something happened below the level of equality, I can take care of myself, but something happened in the realm of partnership. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about what, you said both of them just kind of deflated, and from that point on they were kind of just like...
Yeah. Well, I didn't know it at the time, but... See, a male's instinct need is to feel needed, right? Mm-hmm. So I was creating an environment where they didn't feel needed, they didn't feel useful, they didn't feel like they could provide, they didn't feel like they could protect. It was kind of a lose-lose. I had attacked their primal need.
So, and...
Unknowingly.
You're right, because as I started thinking about this stuff, I was like, how many guys or how many people when you're in your masculine trait want to be the hero? You don't have to put up your hand, but like, damn, that feels good, doesn't it? And then when someone takes that away, even though I don't need you to have to need me, I just have to let you let me.
Yes.
And you didn't let either of them.
No. No, because that would be a sign of weakness. That would be a sign that I was maybe dumb, that I couldn't take care of myself, that I couldn't do things on my own. And I didn't like that feeling. I had placed no value on femininity at that time, because femininity just seemed that you just kind of sat around on a couch and ate bonbons and, you know, damsel in distress. Sometimes that was not me.
Totally. You were strong. You were like capable.
Yeah, I was strong. I was, you know, traveled the world starting at like age 20, you know, lots of difficult situations.
And when you were strong, consistently, what happened to your spirit?
I was exhausted. Huh. My spirit was exhausted.
Hmm.
Yeah, and frustrated. I couldn't find a way to feel balanced. And then I would get more and more frustrated with the men in my life because I thought it was up to them to bring that sense of balance, but not realizing that I needed to bring that as well. Yeah.
So for you, when you settled into who the traits that are natural to you,
yes,
that's when you felt like you came to yourself?
Yeah. Yes. That's very much where I discovered Christine.
You said you went to a workshop and on this stuff, and you spent the entire time with two pillows in front of you, like with body armor. Like, don't you say something. By the end, you were like, ah.
Yes.
Is that when it started to come on?
That's what it felt like. That's because a friend recommended this workshop that I go to.
Okay.
And I was like, what? I'm going to go and like learn to be feminine and...
I'm a girl, duh.
You know? Yeah, and I sat on the couch and it was literally the two pillows.
Huh.
Just sitting there like, yeah. Why do I have to learn this?
Right.
And as you say... By the end of it, it was like, wow, I'm just a bigger expression of who I naturally am.
Huh.
This is kind of cool.
Can I share? So when you sat down, do you mind if I share when you did sound check?
Yes. Okay.
We didn't rehearse this, but she walked in, she sat down, and it was just like, she was like, what's the end goal? How are we going to do this? And I was like, no. It's okay. And also, she just kind of goes like this. You mean I don't have to be responsible for anything? I can just like enjoy myself and connect with you guys and share my story? She could probably out-teach me any day of the week. But she gave me the gift of letting me guide this conversation. Not because you're not capable.
No.
You're very capable. You do this for a living. But that you allowed me to help them. Mm-hmm. So I get to feel that sense of, I get to help you guys.
Mm. Yeah. It feels great.
It feels amazing.
Yeah.
Although, if I was going to be really honest, the feminine traits feel more powerful than the masculine traits.
Yes, how so?
If I want to help, I have to let somebody... Somebody has to let me help. So it always starts in that feminine place to let me help.
Mm.
So for me to feel naturally myself, someone has to be willing to receive and to handle that with skill.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels like maybe for me to express a lot of my masculine traits, I need someone who understands her feminine traits or his feminine traits and allows that.
Yes, and a lot of it being in your feminine is creating space.
Hmm.
So you're creating space for people to show up in the way that they want to be.
Hmm.
And you're just kind of in receive mode, and you're allowing the world around you to respond to you so you can... I mean, people mistake femininity. Femininity is being a powerful woman who's willing to be vulnerable.
Hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the power is. It's not about being a damsel in distress.
No.
Powerful woman who can be vulnerable and can allow others in her realm to support her on her mission in this world and creating space for that. So
that's a very different articulation than because of your gender, you cannot do X, Y, and Z.
Oh, gosh, no.
That's saying
do it all.
I can do it all,
yeah.
But I might choose to let you help me with some of that.
Exactly.
And I might choose to let you help. And if you don't handle it well, I'll kick your ass.
No, only if you're 24.
And you're Erin Ziering or whatever the guy's name is.
Yeah.
If you could speak to the people who have predominant feminine traits, who aren't living in that, who that spiritual work of loving yourself, they're not there yet, what would you want to say to them? Or what comes up in your heart as I talk about that?
Yeah. Attach yourself to the value of femininity and what femininity brings to this world.
Hmm.
Place value on femininity for yourself and for the people that you interact with.
Hmm.
You know, take a look. Do I think femininity is a good thing, or do I look at feminine women and go, "Ah, they're weak"?
Hmm.
Right? And remember that it's. Yes, you're asking for one thing. Yeah,
it's okay.
Yes. Just be proud and be okay with being vulnerable and being okay with being feminine, and that it's actually a sign of strength if you have the courage to bring femininity to your work, to your relationships, to yourself, too.
Wasn't that quote amazing that the guy...
Yes. Wow.
Incredible.
Incredible. Very good.
Now, I know you have masculine traits, but that's not necessarily your natural place to be. But do you want to speak to the masculine traits in the room?
Absolutely. I think maybe I can say from a woman's perspective, is we don't have like a this is masculine traits, right? What we're looking for is, does he have my back? We're looking for presence. You know, is he going, we've got this tiger going on all the time. Is he just going to look us in the eye and stand up to us and say, no, that's not right. Come with me. You know, so we will push and push and push and push until you stand up to us. The beautiful thing is that's where men want to be. And that's where the masculine wants to be. Right? And so, and to not be afraid of it. Maybe you've tried to show your masculinity in your relationship and I wouldn't like me and I told you it wasn't a good idea or whatever. You know, just let the woman in, let the woman in your life know, hey, that kind of hurt. That hurts. You know? And that's a powerful masculine thing to say. Power, it's not like, we'll just put that under the rug and hope she doesn't do it again. You know?
That's the beauty of the work, or the stuff for me. And again, you genderize it a bit more than I do. I'll just say masculine and feminine traits. I believe that when we exist in our natural traits with who we are, something special happens in this world. I think we are a gift to the people around us. Not only are we're better in ourselves, I think, but I think there's a love your neighbor component that has started to blow me away a lot lately. So, I'm going to say thank you. We're out of time. That went super fast, didn't it?
Yeah.
This was the beginning of this conversation. We're going to work on this a bit more in another series. Can we give Christina a big round of applause?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Fantastic. Thank you. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of the conversation. This is basically me walking through a minefield, trying not to blow myself up as I'm walking through this. Bringing Christine up to me articulated a lot of stuff that I'm starting to learn. This isn't about weakness. This isn't about gender sameness. This is about mandatory equality, but understanding difference and being okay with difference and celebrating our differences. So your homework today is this. Go out there, be unapologetically you. If you need to be strong, be strong. If you need to move and feel your way through things, do that. If you need to focus on the end of the journey, great. If you need to focus on the journey itself and make that beautiful, great. But it takes a tremendous amount of courage, so I'm calling you to live in that place this week. I want this to be the beginning of the conversation, so my email is vince@friendchurch.ca. You can go to Facebook, Friend Church Calgary, post comments. You can say, I completely missed the boat. You can disagree. We can have a conversation because I think this is where this starts. Gender equality is mandatory, but what does it look like to live exactly in the unique traits that you are and have them be celebrated by you and by the people who love you? That's what I want to do today. Have a great week. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the sun. Thanks for coming out, and we'll see you next week. I think I'm going to do something good. I can't remember what it is, but it's going to be good. So we'll see you then. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Christina. Christine.